Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
All right, this is the MGB review of AEW Dynamite.
And also AEW Dark Elevation as well, because they obviously do both shows at the same time. So this one fell right in between either side of your birthday. So your tickets for the first one were kind of a birthday, but it turned out that actually the tickets for the second one turned out to be probably the better birthday present of the two. But at the time, it might have been we just went to one, because it was a little pricey. We're like, we'll see. We'll see what deals we can come up with. And boy, did we get a good deal for the second one. But we'll talk about that one later. So normally we do these in chronological order, but the way they record the shows, they bring the indie talent in first. So this one will actually be the AEW Dark Elevation for January 24th. So first of all, we didn't take any notes for this one. I haven't done any research for this one, except for possibly a couple of things that were kind of interesting. But I literally have no notes written down here, Mason, except for who was in each match. So if you got anything to say, say. And if you don't, we'll just move on to the next one. If it's anything that you liked about the match, anything you remember, anything about the people. All right, so this one opened up then with Layla Hirsch defeating Brittany Blake.
They were both small. Like, I don't think either of them went over the top rope.
Layla Hirsch is not particularly tall. Because you asked, like, are they really small? And I was like, well, Brittany Blake is, because we've seen Brittany Blake before. And Layla Hirsch, I knew, wasn't particularly tall either. But yeah, considering we know people like Ben Bishop who can step over the top rope, and Layla Hirsch's head pretty much came up to the top rope. So, it was noticeable when they were in the ring that it made the ring look a lot bigger, for sure.
I think it was a pretty quick match.
Yeah, they normally are on Elevation. They don't actually even list the times. Most of them probably under 5 minutes. The thing that impressed me was the talent normally comes out the side entrance, and Brittany had a huge cheer when she came out.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of people who were clearly calling out to her, and she was, like, waving to different people. And actually in the match, the crowd was actually cheering for Brittany rather than Layla.
Yeah.
I think it was obvious Layla was going to win.
Layla's a heel.
But they were definitely supporting Brittany, and it was really cool that kind of the local talent got their cheer for that one as well. Yeah. But yeah, pretty quick match, and Layla Hirsch is pretty dominant. Not particularly that surprising. All right, match two then was Private Party, Isaiah Cassidy and Mark Queen. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly. Mark, M-A-R-Q. Didn't know that. Defeated Action Andretti and Miles Hawkins.
Well, if I remember correctly, I really don't think that Action Andretti and Miles did much.
They didn't, considering that we saw him at MCW and he was really impressive. I was kind of excited for this one. MCW fans in the crowd were definitely cheering. They recognized who they were. They didn't really get much of a chance
not
in this one.
Much flippy stuff, really.
The thing that was cool for this one, particularly for me, if I'm remembering correctly, is I think Matt Hardy comes out with Private Party.
Yeah.
So we got to see that. So that was kind of cool. And the big logos and all that stuff was kind of neat as well. All right, match three, Brandi Rhodes defeated Willow Nightingale.
I remember, like, that Brandi Rhodes got this big boo, because I didn't know she was heel. I thought Cody was face.
He is.
And that would make her a face automatically.
People generally don't like Brandi. Yeah. I don't think that they think of she's a particularly good wrestler. I think that's part of it. But she gets a lot of wins, even though she doesn't necessarily deserve it. To me, I consider
like that... Shane McMahon.
I would kind of agree. To me, I think it kind of makes them a good heel, though, as well, for that. If you got somebody who you don't think deserves that many wins, and they keep getting the wins, then yeah, you're going to boo them. The one thing... Willow, obviously, we recognize.
Yeah, it was
as
actually
well.
A decent-sized match.
Yeah, it was. Willow definitely had moves in this as well. And there was definitely pro-Willow crowd, that's for sure. Not just because it was against Brandi, but there were calls for sign Willow, apparently.
Yeah.
I didn't hear those specific calls, but I saw them as I was looking through, just as I was casually looking through Twitter. I wasn't really looking for anything for this event, but obviously people in our area were obviously talking about it.
Yeah, but I remember after the match, Brandi Rhodes was checking her hair on the Jumbotron or whatever it was called. She's like, is my hair messed up?
Uh-huh. That would make sense for sure. Match four was Men of the Year, Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky against Logan Easton LaRoe and Mike Fowler. Now, I'm going to start with this one, actually, because on Cage Match, it lists it as Logan Easton LaRoe, but they introduced him as Logan LaRoe. Now, we're going to review UEW coming up, so I did ask a couple of questions, like, hey, is it LaRoe or is it LaRoe? Because we've heard both. And he says, I'm okay with both, but I personally say LaRoe, which is what we've always said as well. To me, if it was LaRoe, it would be LARUE anyway. So it's a slightly different pronunciation. And I did ask about the Eastern. I was like, because most people, when they appear, like all the names we mentioned so far, Brittany Blake. Action Andretti. Willow Nightingale. Why did Logan Easton LaRoe just become Logan LaRoe? Like, it's not like Easton's offensive. So I did ask that one, and apparently it was... when they write the names down, they just miss the Eastern out. So he was Logan LaRoe, and as he's returning, he's always going to be Logan LaRoe. I don't think it makes any difference. Like, everyone knew who it was, but it was just curious. I was wondering if it was a specific AEW thing. Like, perhaps they didn't like three names or something, or... Yeah, but no, nothing to do with that at all. Okay, anything for this?
Who was Logan with again?
Mike Fowler.
I don't think Mike Fowler even stepped in the ring.
He didn't much. No, he had very little. Logan was in there for a while, and once he was in, it was over pretty quickly.
I remember they took a big tumble on the outside, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes when you're the person on the outside, like the... particularly if it's against heels, like, yeah, they'll do a cheap shot and, like, knock you off the side of the ring, and then, yeah, you often don't get to do much at all. So, yeah, of the amount of time that Logan was in the ring, he was certainly in the ring for more. Logan's last match was against Tony Nese, and that was about 4 minutes. So sometimes those singles matches can be really, really short, like 1 minute, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And Logan actually got some offense in on that match as well.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, for this one, same thing. Logan managed to get some moves in, but he was probably the more dominant of the two. I don't remember anything specific about Ethan Page, considering that's somebody who we really like.
Yeah.
I don't really remember anything particularly.
I really don't either.
And that's kind of the problem with these ones. And we went on two nights. Often they'll have, the one I watched recently was 12 matches in like an hour. Mm-hmm. So, and then you put on the main show, and then you do that twice. We've probably got 30-something matches here. I don't even know why I'm trying to keep track of the matches. This is match five, though. Red Velvet defeated Jinai Kai.
I think that Jinai Kai got actually a good amount of offense, too. Mm-hmm. But I think Red Velvet could have lost.
I would have been... I feel kind of bad picking out Red Velvet, personally, but I kind of thought the same
thing. Like, out of the dark...
like, of all the people on there, and I actually mentioned this on Good Cop, Bad Cop as well, I was like, would it really have hurt Red Velvet if she took one loss? Like, I don't think it's going to stop her that much. But for the local fans who know people like Jinai, yeah, how massive would that be for one of those people to get a win? You know every single match of these. I don't think I've ever seen the underdog, if you want to call them that, the local talent. I don't think I've ever seen them ever get a win. Mm-hmm. And it kind of... it's cool to see them, but wouldn't it be nice if just occasionally, like, one of them, when you know that so many different people are going to appear, that one of them's going to get a win? Now, all these people, I've started to see them, with Dark Elevation being tomorrow, they've started to post the graphics already, saying, hey, look, I'm going to appear. Like, I've seen, we'll mention Bro Keller in a second, like, Bro Keller's posted, like, hey, I'm going to be appearing in this match. I saw Logan posted that he's going to be in a match as well, and things like that, but you know they're not going to win. But wouldn't that be nice if you just, you don't have to do it every week. I don't even care if you do it once per month or if you go 7 weeks without doing it. But then occasionally you throw in one win or you throw in two wins. If it's somebody who's, like, I understand, if you've got a John Moxley appearing on a show like this or if you've got a Kenny Omega, then no, I don't think you would give them the loss. But if it's somebody who's below those top few, I think they could take a loss.
Yeah, Sanjay Dutt.
I don't think it would hurt them.
Spice it up, Sanjay Dutt.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, you got to mix it up. Or that might be Tony as well. I don't know. Well, having spoken about him then, the Inner Circle, Ortiz and Santana defeated Bro Keller and Goldie.
Yeah. I remember Ortiz and Santana.
Mm-hmm.
They came out with paint masks or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm, too. And Bro looks so weird with his man bun. Like, I don't think of him as that. Like, the long hair is messing me up.
It's kind of funny, actually. I guess this fits in perfectly. We're recording on the Sunday, so this is the 23rd. We just came back from UEW, so I was I haven't sorted through any of your 8x10s in forever. In fact, I when I looked, I hadn't done it since March 2020. Now, that sounds really bad. That's not like, well, 2 years? What the heck? We didn't go to a wrestling event in 15 months, so it's really only since June 2020. I've just been putting them on top of the fridge. So I started putting them in, got them all organized, did the same for Jackson. And then I was like, my main idea just to take a picture of all of these and put them in like a folder as well. And it was kind of interesting for certain wrestlers to go and look to see how much they've changed. So the early one that we had for Bro, I'm guessing that's how you still probably envisage Bro. I saw Jackson actually had one as well, which is a Jay Lee photograph, which is kind of a little bit dark background. It looks really cool. You know, like you can see his tattoos on his back. And then I was thinking, yeah, if you saw him now, he would look a little bit different. The one who had the biggest change, probably Cabana Man Dan.
Yeah.
Like before, he had really short hair, clean shaven, and now he has really long hair, and obviously has the beard as well. So, yeah, it was kind of interesting to see some of those, certainly the younger wrestlers, how they've looked in. Wow, we've been going to wrestling for, I'm going to say this year it'll be the fifth year we've been to indie events by the time we get to September. So, yeah, some of those early ones now, they've kind of really changed. Yeah, I think Bro Keller probably got the most of the time in the ring for this one as well. Yeah,
Bro didn't do the fist pump, though.
He didn't, yeah. I guess because you don't want to show up the talent. So, yeah, I think that's fair enough. But that's something I would associate with Bro. It might be that he doesn't do that anymore as well. I don't know. When we saw him at Voltage, he was still doing it in the summer. Or we saw it on video. We weren't actually at that event, but we saw the video of it. So, yeah, not sure. Goldie kind of caught my attention because he was actually on the Indie Wrestling Corner that very week as well in an interview. It was one I actually missed because we were busy doing stuff. So, but I was like, oh, I recognize that name, Goldie. But just, I don't really know him personally. Next one was another tag team match. Ruby Soho and Thunder Rosa defeated Jordan Blade and Lever Bates. Is it Lever Bates? Lever Bates, I think.
I don't know. But I remember Ruby Soho got this huge pop. Like, the whole crowd was singing her name, singing the song and everything. Yep. I thought it was really cool.
Yep.
And I didn't even know she was on AEW.
Ah. Yeah, I had a few people, like, that were kind of on my list of people I was hoping we were going to see in 2 days. And most of them appeared on night one, actually.
Yeah.
Ruby Soho was one. Thunder Rosa, I'd already said I wanted to see as well. I just didn't know that they were going to be on the same team. I didn't realize to begin with. I thought it was Jordan Blade versus Lever Bates. I didn't even realize because... Or I thought Lever Bates was her manager. Because she kind of came out with a book, which is kind of like the thing. I know there's librarian character or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but I thought it was her manager. And then I thought it was the singles match. And then when Ruby and Thunder came out, I was like, oh, I guess it's a tag team. Lee didn't get to do too much in this one either.
Yeah, really.
Jordan got a few moves in. There was a cheap shot as well to Jordan. I seem to remember. I was like, ah. But yeah, getting to hear Ruby Soho's entrance in person was good. And yeah, those two are great. It would have been nice to see him in singles action as well. But I was like, hey, that's two more boxes checked off. So I was quite happy with this one.
But I don't know when that happened, but we also saw Chris Dickerson.
Yeah, I don't remember which match that was. I think that must have been on the main
Dickerson
card.
Is it Dickerson or Dickinson?
I get it confused because one of them's a disc golfer and one of them's a wrestler.
You say both.
I know, because one of them's a disc golfer and one of them's a wrestler, and I just totally mix them up now.
Okay, so
I think it's Chris Dickinson.
Dickinson is the wrestler.
Yes, I think Dickinson is the disc golfer, I think, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Next one, Team Taz, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Ricky Starks defeated Lee Moriarty and Matt Sydal. This was the main event for AEW Dark.
I totally forgot to say, but we saw Chris Dickinson, like we were sitting in the row.
Oh, that's like why the name came
peering
up.
Peering out like from like the curtain.
I think that was Sting. I think that must have been for the Sting match. It wasn't for AEW Dark, I know.
Oh,
that.
Really? I just couldn't remember.
It was for the main card, and then I think it was Ethan Page that was up next to him. I'm not even sure it
was
Ethan
Page.
It was Dickinson. It looked like him, but I couldn't be sure it was him. Because actually, I thought he was on, well, he was on Ring of Honor, but obviously Ring of Honor's not going right now, so I don't know. He could have been there.
Yeah.
Yeah, not sure. Oh, one other thing I forgot about Jordan Blade is, I guess I should save that more. It's probably something more for the UEW review. I'll wait until that.
Okay.
For this match specifically for me, Powerhouse Hobbs is probably somebody you're not, there's a lot of people on here you're probably not familiar with.
Oh,
you...
Powerhouse Hobbs was the guy. Oh, yeah, I remember him.
He's really stocky.
He was on AEW Dark on the Rampage show, too.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was on the second one. So
yeah.
Some of these, if you got to see him twice, it would probably help you because you don't really watch the regular show. And Ricky Starks was like on NWA for a while, which same thing. You just to you that might not have meant anything, but for me, it was like, oh, they're pretty cool. Lee Moriarty was obviously the IWTV champion last year. Matt Sydal, obviously, you recognized from Impact Wrestling when he was on there. Matt Sydal's in great shape. Yeah. I don't know how old he is. I think he's late 30s now. I'm going to say he's still ripped. He still has ridiculous abs, and his moveset is phenomenal.
I was thinking early 40s.
He might be. I generally lost track, but he's a phenomenal wrestler. Great to see those two together. I'm almost quite happy to see that combination of strength of Powerhouse Hobbs and kind of the movesets of Lee Moriarty and Sydal. But yeah, if those two have been tagging together, I have kind of missed it, I guess. But I think they worked perfectly together.
They tagged later, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was. I thought it was a good main event.
It was the first time I actually didn't know who was going to win.
I would agree. I wasn't sure they could have gone either way with this. And this is actually then, for that reason, the first time that both of them came down the main entrance as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's almost the unwritten rule. If you come down the main entrance, you're the winner.
Yeah.
Or sorry, if you come from the side entrance, then you're not the winner.
Yeah.
I guess that's the way to do it. Because if you get two come through the front, you don't quite
know. Except John Moxley. He's an exception.
Oh, I didn't even think about Moxley.
Nice segue.
Yeah, you're right. Well, eventually, I guess so, yeah. So, and actually, I didn't have that because I just wrote down the actual order of the matches. So that was the end of that show.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're actually on to Dynamite, which is from, I think, the 19th. Yeah, because... 19th. So, I only wrote down the matches, and it doesn't include promos and stuff. So, yeah, go ahead. How did the show start?
John Moxley came in through the side entrance, and he just walked to the ring, and then he started cutting a promo. No, I don't know exactly what the fans said. It was.
I still don't know exactly what they say, but I heard a few things that it might have been, if you want me to tell you those.
Yeah.
Because I watched the video because I was curious because I was like, I didn't hear, I only caught the end part, but it was kind of quiet from where we were sat. And we had fairly good seats. We were only like seven rows back from the side, and we were level with the ramp. And actually, we weren't even level. We were probably level with the side of the ring, actually.
I was more focused on what Moxley had to say.
Yeah, I was too, and that was, we were watching him walking around the ring. The last part definitely said, get that piece of garbage out of here. That's definitely, he said that. And then other people were like, what did he say? Because like, I couldn't hear it. And other people said the same thing. And some people, one person said it was... go get a drink and get this piece of garbage out of here. Or, hey, you're a drunk, get this garbage out of here. Because we talked about the fact that he'd been in...
rehab.
He'd been in rehab for his alcoholism. Another person said it was, get a garbage truck in here and get that piece of garbage out of here. So nobody really seemed to know what it was. When I mentioned it on... when I was talking to Darren over the weekend, he said another combination of things as well. Basically, you're a piece of... bleep, get that piece of garbage. So I couldn't really tell. So, but yeah, not nice. Moxley responded, dropped the F-bomb. I was like, get that piece of S out of here. And apparently, yeah, he has been, he was removed and he's been banned from future AEW events, was what Darren told me. So I looked to see if that happened because I asked our friends who were in that basic area. I was like, did you see him get ejected? And they didn't see him get ejected, but they didn't say he wasn't ejected either.
Yeah.
So was
he a plant?
That was one of my theories, but it doesn't look like he was a plant. I only thought that because Alan Angels threw water over MJF as he was coming down the ramp, and then he reacted to it, and it was kind of a big segment. And then people were talking, well, they're like, well, that's an independent wrestler right there. That's not even a member of the crowd. So that was a plant. So, excuse me, I thought it could have been a plant for that reason.
Yeah.
But just because it really helped the promo.
Yeah.
Like before he even started anything, Mox got to get him drop an F-bomb, which was effective on TV because you don't normally get to hear that. And it just started him all fired up. So it really helped the promo in some way. So that was kind of why I was wondering if that was true.
And remember when they threw a hot dog at
Jericho?
Jericho.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I looked back at that card at one point because I was like, oh yeah, I kind of forgot some of those. It was kind of interesting to go back and see.
There was only three dark matches on that, wasn't there?
Yes, there wasn't many. We left before the end, actually.
Huh?
We left before the end because it was a school night. But I wanted to see Orange Cassidy. I was like, I'm not leaving until I've seen Orange Cassidy. And then once I recast,
we missed the main event.
No, we didn't miss the main event. They recorded the regular show, then they recorded the Dark material at that time. I'm not even sure they had AEW Dark at that time. I'm not sure. Perhaps it was just like a YouTube bonus clips or something. I know we missed Britt Baker's match. I do remember that.
Yeah.
Like, Britt Baker wasn't a massive character at that point, and now she's obviously the women's champion.
Mm-hmm.
So a big difference between.
I still remember how ecstatic you were at the Riho one.
Yeah, I think I was about ready to tap out at that point for that one. Alright, so the first match then was, the aforementioned Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, tagging with her boyfriend, Adam Cole, against Chris Statlander and Orange Cassidy, and I could not have been happier. I was like, oh my god, there's three checked off my list straight away. Not that I'm the fourth one. If we hadn't seen Britt Baker, I would have survived. I would have survived for the other ones as well, but I really wanted to see Adam Cole. I wanted to see Chris Statlander again, and I really wanted to see Orange Cassidy. 14 minutes 25 this match was. It got a rating of 7 on Cage Match, which some of their ratings can be a little up and down, but it gives you some... When you compare several of them, I think it gives you an idea of how accurately they are. All right, what do you remember about this one then?
I wasn't super happy that... Orange Cassidy didn't even really do, like, his Orange Cassidy stuff.
He was kicking Britt Baker right at the start.
Yeah,
oh,
that was it, though.
Oh, he was doing his, like, little kick.
Yeah, that was it.
No, he did his climb up and then just kind of fall. And
no, I mean, like, after he kicked Britt Baker, that was it.
He did some other Orange Cassidy. Once he gets fired up, though, he becomes
charged. I would have liked to see the lazy a little bit longer.
He did one other one, actually, when he walked to the rope, bounced off the rope, walked back, and then fell on somebody. So he did that one as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're used to seeing the indie matches, of course. When if it was a 14-minute, it would be 14 minutes of Orange Cassidy doing
that. Yeah, it would be more like 12 minutes.
He didn't really tag with anybody. It was more... I don't think I ever saw Orange Cassidy tag on the indies.
Yeah, I don't...
With the exception of the one time he tagged with Chris Statlander this summer, but that's different. Before he moved up to AEW, I don't think I ever saw that.
Yeah.
All right, anything else?
Yeah. Orange Cassidy accidentally set Brick... Britt Baker threw a table.
Mm-hmm. That was Adam Cole's fault. They set up the table.
Yeah.
And she stood right behind him. So.
And then Adam got mad.
He did. He got really mad. And that's going to be the storyline going into next week. They're having a lights out match. And he checked all the boxes. Chris Statlander's amazing. Britt Baker played a part in this one. Adam Cole and Orange Cassidy. They did have intergender parts in this as well, which I really liked. You don't always get to see that. Certainly never on WWE. Or sometimes I'll have the rule, if the one tags in, then the other's got to tag in as well. Mm-hmm. So as soon as the male's in the ring, then the other male. No, they just went with it. I thought it was perfectly good. All right, next match was a singles match. CM Punk defeated Shawn Spears in 12 seconds.
Yeah, basically he just got it GTS'd instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And MJF was on commentary, and then he got mad. Because
mm-hmm.
Shawn Spears got beat so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It was a GTS.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. So you didn't really think much of this at all. So you weren't pumped that CM Punk was there?
I mean, I was.
You got to hear his entrance. You got to see his signature move. You got to see him make fun of belittle MJF, because that's exactly... He sent Shawn Spears out thinking he was going to possibly defeat CM Punk, or at least give him a hard time, and it was 12 seconds. I didn't care that it was 12 seconds. I thought for the story, I thought it was the right thing to do. Shawn Spears should not be stopping CM Punk. Shawn Spears wasn't concentrating either, so it served him right that he got caught out by that move. MJF, when he came into the ring, he actually stole his scarf from him as well.
Oh, yeah.
So he rubbed his scarf over the sweat on his neck as well. Now, the reason
sweat.
I remember...
Yeah. It's 12 seconds.
Oh, under the hot lights and things like that, and probably, I don't know, his toner that he puts on. I don't know. You're probably right, but... the reason I might remember some more stuff of this is I did watch the highlights, because I was curious to see, like, what could I see, were they saying anything, but that was still a few days ago now, so I don't remember. And I was kind of looking to see if we made TV. I didn't think we would for this one particularly, but
yeah,
I was kind of curious as to what they thought the top five moments were from Wednesday. So no, for me, another box checked. I was quite happy. I didn't think on a Wednesday night we were going to get a 10-15 minute match with CM Punk. They are kind of saving those a little bit more, despite what Matt thinks. They are saving them a little bit. So a short match. The fans got to see him. Everybody was happy.
Matt was happy.
Because he was only there for 12 seconds.
Mm.
Alright, next
one. And he loves how much CM Punk wins.
This one didn't get a rating because you got to be over 5 minutes to get a rating, which is probably why the AW a lot of the AW Dark Elevation matches don't get ratings.
You need to be over 5 minutes.
Huh. Kings of the Black Throne, Brody King and Malachi Black defeated the Varsity Blondes, Brian Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison with Julia Hart.
I remember I was really excited to see Malachi.
Mm-hmm.
But,
him and Brody King look really cool together. The entrances and...
Yeah. The tattoos.
Yeah.
But, I couldn't really see, because in NXT, he used to come up from, like, under the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Did he do that?
I couldn't tell. It was kind of dark, and there was lights coming on, and we weren't that close that we could see from that angle. Because those tickets are limited view, so you can't quite see when they're coming through the entrances. So you can look up at the Jumbotron, but yeah. I couldn't quite tell. It looked effective, though.
Yeah.
Like, it looked impressive.
But, I remember Brody King, like, he cut the pin while Malachi was doing his meditation move, whatever mm-hmm. it's called.
Sure.
Or just sits there and then, like, closes his eyes and does that.
Mm-hmm.
But I like one of his eyes. They look cool.
Mm-hmm. It was a short match. It was 1 minute 53 seconds, so no rating for this one. Once again, it kept Malachi Black looking strong, and Brody King looked strong as well.
Yeah.
And I think it said it was Brody King's second match with Malachi Black.
Uh-huh.
So they were going to have a quick match. It's kind of surprising. You thought that might have been more like an AEW dark match. Like, yeah. Brian Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison are pretty well respected, I thought. But yeah, it just shows you where their paths are going currently right now.
Tattooed torturers.
It was good to see, but yeah, it was pretty quick. All right, next one was Lance Archer with Dan Lambert and Jake Roberts.
Yeah.
I didn't see Jake Roberts at all. I did not remember that.
I
guess I must have missed that.
Wait, Jake the Snake?
Yeah.
Kid?
Kid.
Jake
the Snake Roberts.
Kid.
No, Jake Roberts.
Oh, like the real Jake the Snake.
Oh, is it? Oh, well,
not
no,
even
he doesn't. He probably can't use the snake because he's on AEW.
I
probably.
Know, but like,
so yes,
it was Jake, actually him.
Yeah, he probably didn't have the snake with him anymore because it's just Jake Roberts.
No,
I did not remember seeing him.
I
at
thought
all.
It might have been his son or something.
Defeated Frankie Kazarian in 10 minutes. I only saw Dan Lambert.
Wait, he fought?
No, with.
Oh.
That means he's ringside.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it was a 3-on-1 handicap match, and Frankie Kazarian lasted 10 minutes.
Hmm? Oh, okay.
No, I'm being sarcastic.
Okay. But the last match, like, Brody King and Malachi don't have a tag team. I was thinking of the Tattooed Torturers. That sounds like a good name.
Well, they're Kings of the Black Throne, so...
Oh, never mind.
They've already decided. All right, what about this match, though?
I really don't remember Jake.
I don't remember Jake. That's not the important part. Lance Archer and Frankie Kazarian. What do you remember?
Lance Archer? Oh, wait. Can you describe it for me? Because he's a... God.
This is the match that went on 10 minutes, and it should have been over in 1 minute and
53
seconds.
Oh, that match. Oh, okay. Wait, it was Lance Archer was the tall guy?
Yes.
Okay. Lance Archer should have ended it, like, a lot quicker, but he kept toying with him, and the other guy was,
Frankie.
Yeah, Frankie kept, like, he would get beat down for, like, 5 minutes, then he'd have 30 seconds of offense. And then the crowd would start going crazy, and then and then you would get offense again, and then Lance would get offense again, and then he would just like mess up again, and then he would find it. It literally took like a drop kick would do absolutely nothing to Lance, and then as soon as you do it from the top rope, oh no, he's down, and then the whole momentum of the match switches for 30 seconds, but then Frankie kept kicking out.
That's a pretty good summary. I didn't like this match at all. I'm not a big Frankie Kazarian fan anyway, but I was like, this should have been 1 minute 53. I wanted the other match to be 10 minutes. The rating on Cage Match, when we left, actually, I was like, I liked everything except for that match.
Yeah.
4.34 on Cage Match, so they didn't like it either. They were not impressed with it either. I was impressed with Lance Archer's strength, but it should have been over in 4 minutes at the most.
Yeah.
There was no reason for it to. It just kept going on. I was like, why?
Because they wanted the rating.
We're not developing anything. They just wanted to get past 5. Yeah. All right, next one. Serena Deeb defeated Sky Blue. I know you're impressed with the name Sky Blue.
Yeah. It must have taken forever to figure that name
out. This was 2 minutes 51.
Squash match.
Pretty much.
It wasn't that long. Sky Blue got whooped.
Serena Deeb was somebody I was really hoping to see, and we didn't really get to see as much of Serena Deeb as I would have liked.
Yeah. Serena will start getting a real fight once they have a person who actually has a real name.
Ah, there we go. You heard it first on MGB.
Yeah, I wonder if like she was just laying down having a picnic and then I totally forgot. I need to be thinking of a wrestling name right now.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Blue Sky, there we go.
The thing that surprised me most was, like I said, I enjoyed the whole event. I thought it was great. When I look back on it, of the three of the six matches on Dynamite were under 3 minutes.
Huh.
I was like, huh. Like, obviously CM Punk was, which I didn't really think about at the time. I didn't remember Malakai Black's match being that short, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, of course, sometimes they'll have to do stuff before they even ring the bell.
Yeah.
So it is possible that it was longer than that. Yeah. And I thought Serena Deeb's match was 5 minutes. But
yeah,
I don't know. But obviously when you get to see all the entrances and you get to see all the introductions, it feels like longer. So when they actually, from the time they ring the bell, you've already been invested for at least 5 minutes. So I guess that's part of it as well. All right, the main event, which you already kind of mentioned who it was, Darby Allin and Sting defeated the Acclaim, Anthony Bowens and Max Caster in 9 minutes and 22 seconds.
Yeah. So Darby Allin got out pretty quickly. Like he had to get help to the back. Mm-hmm. And then Sting had to go 1-on-2, and they were
yelling. Handicap match.
Yeah, they were yelling elder abuse, like, the whole time. Uh-huh. Like, respect your elders and stuff like that. Yep. Sting actually heard that.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Later, we'll find that out.
We will, yeah. There was a grandfather shout or something.
Yeah, yep. there was grandfather shouts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually had a good amount of offense at first, and then he started getting beat down.
Not surprisingly.
And then Darby Allin just came flying in, like he was like, I assume he's on the stage.
You already called this, of course. As soon as Darby Allin got taken off, you were like, he's coming back, and he was like,
it's Rule 101.
Of course, it is. And it was still fun to see.
Yeah, it was. Like, we got to see a good amount of Sting.
Yeah,
since it was
we did
him by himself.
See, that was the thing I wasn't expecting. I was hoping we'd see Sting, but I thought he might just come
he's
out
like
57.
With 57.
Yeah, I was like, he might just come out with Darby Allin, and he might not do just do a tiny bit. We got to see a Sting match that was nearly 10 minutes. Yeah. That's amazing.
That's crazy. That,
I did say some of his matches have been, like, not super short. Like, they have had cinematic matches that have gone on for a little while, so it was possible we could have it, but I wasn't expecting it on a regular Dynamite.
Yeah.
So the fact that we got to see that, and I'm sure at some point, unless you forgot about it, you're going to mention your little video clip you
got. Yeah. But Sting's also 70 years old. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, you looked up the wrong Sting to begin with, so that didn't help.
Yeah, I assumed when
you... That's why you have to put wrestler.
One of the most famous wrestlers in the world still isn't the most famous Sting.
I would say the Sting from Police is way more famous. Not everybody watches wrestling, but most people listen to music. You don't know him because the Police were famous in the 80s. So Sting's still famous right now, but it's for your generation, no, I'm not sure. I'd be curious if I asked my class tomorrow how many of you know who Sting is, what their reaction would be, and probably more might actually say the wrestler, possibly. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or some might say never heard of him.
But Sting, like, was on the stage, and he also dived, too, and I got that perfectly on camera.
Yep, it took the guy through the table. From the proper angle, it was a little clunky, actually. It didn't really look quite that good. But from the angle, you went flying. The part that went through the table just didn't work too well. But the actual dive by Sting was brilliant.
Yeah. I'm surprised that he actually jumped.
Mm-hmm. Like, Sting doesn't have to do stuff like that. Like, they could easily use him in a role like Jake Roberts. Like, you just need somebody to appear in ringside, and that's cool.
I thought he was dead.
No.
Was it Jimmy Snuka?
Jimmy Snuka is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's just cool that we have these people around. Like, Matt Hardy's not wrestling right now. I did not care that Matt Hardy wasn't wrestling. Just seeing Matt Hardy there, throwing up the signs, doing a couple of deletes, perhaps doing a little cheap shot and things like that. It's great. I'm quite happy seeing that.
CM Punk wasn't wrestling either.
But
it was still cool to see him.
And then Sting doing a crazy dive from the stage, and it was good. Yeah, no, this match actually got less than the earlier match. This was 6.54.
Really?
Yeah. I thought this match was better than actually, I don't know. Adam Cole match was pretty good.
Yeah.
Because most of the time they were wrestling. This one was a 2-on-1 for a long point, which kind of limited what they could actually do. And that was it for this one. I didn't mention at the start, the name of the arena is really weird. It's like Sports and Entertainment Arena. Yeah. I was like, that's such a generic thing. I didn't realize it wasn't Capital One until about a week before.
Mm-hmm.
Until I bought the tickets for the next event, I was like, oh, this is not Capital One. I was like, that's weird because the first one is. And then when I looked, I was like, oh, no, it's not. And the other weird thing about this one is when I looked online, because I was trying to get parking, it said nearest parking was 3 miles away, and I was like, oh, great. I was like, I've got to catch the metro. That's going to take forever to get there. And then, anyway, we found one. It was one of their parking lots, and actually, it was fine.
Yeah.
We had to walk probably about half a mile.
They had a shuttle, too, if you really wanted to.
I needed to get... Yeah, they did actually have a shuttle.
Ride the shuttle.
You did. I needed my steps. So we did that, and yeah, it all worked out good. The only downside from this event...
It was freezing.
Which I didn't tell you about, because I didn't want it to ruin the event for you, was I'd lost my iPod at the event, which I didn't realize until I got home. But yeah, there were a few things at the start. Like, we had to show our vaccination cards, And we had to show our ID to prove it was us. And there were some people coming the opposite way. And it was like, I told you you needed a vaccine. So one guy was giving his wife grief that they didn't get in. So I don't know if they made it back or not. And then they gave us that little paper ticket. Yeah. And I'm carrying everything. Like, we had to go through metal detectors. So I got, like, my phone. I picked up a flyer as well. I had a dumb flyer in my hand.
I threw that away.
I had so much stuff in my hands. I had my iPod. I had my phone.
You actually,
first of all, my iPod, I didn't, because I went through the metal detector and it went back off. So I came back through and I found my iPod. So I put that in. I had my keys.
Totally forgot.
And then they were pushing us through. And then it was just a case of grab stuff. So I wasn't even sure if I'd picked up my iPod at that point. I was like, did they just put it in a second tray? And I hadn't ripped. Anyway, it sounds like that wasn't the case, though. When we talk about the one on Friday, it was handed in, and somebody said they'd found it between seats.
Because I swear I saw you holding it when we were talking to Josh.
Oh, possibly. Oh, we didn't even mention that at the start. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, as we were walking to go find our seats, we saw Josh Fuller, so we had a chat with him.
I saw him yesterday, too.
No, that was definitely
But he looked so much like him. Like, from...
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but we were
more
really
interesting
far
was
away.
Talking to Josh Fuller on on the Wednesday.
The real Josh.
So it was kind of cool.
Not the imposter.
Yeah, not the imposter. No, just a wannabe Josh Fuller. Yeah. So yeah, we got to talk some wrestling, catch up on what he's been doing, and the fact that he was injured for a long, long time. So, but it's good that he's wrestling. Tagging with Mikey Banker as well, and I think that we are going to get to see them next week from what we're talking about. And we also got to talk a little bit about the last event that we couldn't go to because Jackson didn't have a vaccination card at that point. So it was good to kind of catch up on a few things like
that
as well.
Did you get him a ticket?
In the end, I don't think I did because I think it started at 8 and I was like, that's a little bit late.
So if we could have gone. The last one?
I guess, possibly so. I think we might have been... I don't know. I think in the end we went to a different event. But it was kind of one of those... I think that's what happened, actually. I think it's we went to... You know what the event I think that we went to instead? I think we actually went to SWA. I'm pretty sure it was that one. It was around about that time.
SWA. So,
yeah, the one where I saw Robbie Page. The one where we went for Jesse Earl Ryan.
Yeah,
was
yeah.
So in the end, it kind of worked out good. But you know, I was like, nah, I was like, we could go to it, but I was like, why don't we pick one where all three of us can go? So we did that. Yeah, I think that does it for this one.
This is NGB, and we're out. Peace.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/